WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
And welcome to this week's episode of BRB UK, episode 416. Not only are we in the future, the next generation is now the current generation. We're on the road to 500. That many left. Think about it. It goes quick. I've been doing stuff on the site that means I have to look at old episodes, and you do not realize how quick it comes up. It's amazing. Anyway, speaking of amazing, Tim.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, I didn't introduce myself. I'm Coleman.
Hi. Hi, Coleman.
No Dan this week. That's why I'm completely nosing up the intro. He has been stuck at work, I believe. So,
detained for medical purposes.
Yeah. So we thought, hey, happy PlayStation launch day, everyone. Yeah. PlayStation 5 launch day, the day after. Now this podcast comes out. We thought we'd talk some experiences on the PlayStation 5, because, as you know, Tim's had his pre-order in with Game. Game, I believe, Tim.
Yeah.
Very reputable UK video game retailer. How's that gone? How's your PlayStation 5 today, Tim?
Well, let's fully frame this in the... This is the first thing I've ordered from Game since they messed up my PSVR order and messed me about with that and caused me aggro. And I was like, well, okay, I don't know if I'm going to get one anywhere else. I seem to be in on here. I'm going to buy one here. And, well, it's a DPD delivery before 12 p.m. So, yeah, okay, that sounds trustworthy. Sign me up. Except, yeah, I don't know what troubles Game had, but communicating with their customers hasn't been good this week. And then I think it was it 10 o'clock last night, the first email? I could be slightly incorrect on that. I could double check, but hey. But around 10 o'clock last night, they emailed to say, oh, yeah, by the way. Well, actually, sorry. Prior to that, they emailed last week to say that the delivery was coming with Yodel.
Ooh.
And I was like, ooh. And I even said publicly on Yodel, well, my delivery switched to Yodel, so don't know if I'll get it on delivery day or ever, like sarcastically. And then
if you do not know the company Yodel and you think that sounds a little bit like Yoda or Yaddle, we will tell you, do or do not, they do not try.
Yeah, they sound fun. It could have been worse. It could have been My Hermes. I don't know why these two companies still keep on getting logistical things, but I'm not actually sure that they're to blame in this instance. By the way, yeah, I have not got my PS5 for launch, and I'm not particularly happy about it. But yeah, when it particularly specifies when ordering different options for delivery, and they're Royal Mail or DPD, and I'd happily go for either of them probably, but the DPD was like, okay, guaranteed before 12 p.m. That's easier for me to deal with at the moment because I don't know when I need to be in and out of work. We're supposed to be at work tomorrow.
is Royal Mail, sorry, if you want to use the courier company for Royal Mail, is that still Parcel Force or is it just Royal Mail?
I'm not sure how it does. It just said Royal Mail. I assumed it probably would be Parcel Force in that case because they tend to handle the
bigger
packages.
I used to work in customer service and helpline, and Royal Mail's Parcel Force. That was the bane of my life. They were the Yodel before Yodel.
But I don't understand how it's okay to then swap it out for one service and for another when it's not a like-for-like swap. You're not guaranteeing it on the same day. You're not guaranteeing it by the time that you said it. And it's coming by a different carrier. And I literally try and avoid any company that uses Yodel or My Hermes. I'm after this matter, I'm really thinking of putting anything on an order in the future that says, if you're planning on using Yodel or My Hermes, please advise me ahead of time and cancel my order. It's just not worth it. Like,
yeah, I didn't order anything for Amazon for about 2 years for that very reason. Stuff would just not turn up and would be marked as sent and just never, like, just endless talking on the phone with different people in different companies trying to sort out replacement products that hadn't turned up.
Yeah, I had an experience of that recently with Amazon, funny enough. But the delivery company responsible, because it was a third-party seller through Amazon, and the delivery company responsible for delivery that didn't deliver the item to my flat that they're now planning to deliver my PS5 to, guess what company?
I've got a feeling.
Yodel. So, literally, yeah, like, the two companies that... Like, My Hermes is the only one that has a worse record for me. Like, I think they have naught out of six, and one of those times, they said that they put a card through the door to tell me that they could not find the address. which is the best one I've had so far.
That's a good one.
But as I said, I don't entirely think I blame Yodel in this instance, because I didn't book a Yodel delivery, and presumably with them only announcing this fairly last minute and doing it last minute, they didn't have a lot of time to liaise with Yodel. And as much as they're not a reliable company and I'm a bit worried about it turning up, I've seen reports of some being stolen today. You don't know whether this is just hearsay and people saying, you know, what's happened, but like things going missing within 2 minutes of arriving at a depot and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that every delivery driver for Yodel is dishonest. I'm just saying it's a company I have come through experience to not trust. And it would have...
You do wonder what the kind of barrier of entry is
sometimes
when you have so many bad experiences with one company.
And it would, I want some justification from Game as to why that changed, because it's the product I ordered, but it's not the service that I ordered, and it's not the, you know, it's not the method and time of delivery that I ordered. And what, like, they seem to have just lumped a lot of the Royal Mail customers that paid one price and the free customers that paid no price and the people that paid for DPD delivery before 12 and just given them all to Yodel with no hierarchy as to which ones go out first. I'm like, what are you doing?
I saw a lot on Twitter. Wasn't there a big issue with the, I think Game were charging a £16 like on the day delivery fee,
I can't remember if it was 12 or 13, but it was around that mark. It wasn't 16, but yeah.
Which, like, you know, in retrospect, not a massive fine, but you're paying for something, you'd expect it.
But it's more the principle. If they'd have said,
I'm just disappointed.
No, like literally, if it had said at the point of purchase, this purchase will be delivered Thursday or Friday, and it's £12 for delivery on Thursday or Friday via a courier company, I would have been like, okay, this morning. But when they made the change to the contract, you know, like the sale of contract thing that I signed in terms of I bought this product with this as a condition, then I don't quite understand the exact legal framework of if they're allowed to just swap that out and not replace it with a like-for-like service. I don't understand the logic behind that. And look, it's only a day. It's not the biggest thing in the world.
No, but it's just annoying.
Yeah, it's just
annoying. You take a day off work, you wait for your package, it doesn't arrive.
And I arrange to be like at home, working from home today and in the office tomorrow. And now I've had to cancel a couple of things tomorrow. Fortunately, it wasn't too much hassle to rearrange in the end. Because, yeah, like, you know, I don't have that many people that I need to see in the office at the moment, but there's one person that's insisting on it.
But if you put that out to the general populace and, like, you're self-employed, you can go into, you know, it's easier for you to take the time out of the office, whereas someone else who may have book days and holiday and you get so many of them a year and, you know, that
and
kind of stuff.
Look, I've learned to not book a day's holiday for the day of release, but then that's really difficult if you're getting it delivered and you're not sure when it's coming to you and stuff. And look, it's not just me that's in this situation. There's a lot of other people. You know, if it was a one-off case and it was just me, then I'd be like, well, you know, I'm just unlucky sort of thing. But this seems to have been a blanket decision taken by someone at some level. And the decision to take it, okay, but the communication about that decision, why that decision was made, and no reference to any kind of refund. Okay, they apologised, but like, why did I pay £12 extra when I'm getting it delivered after other people that paid nothing for delivery? Like, what?
Maddening. That's the idiot tax.
Yeah, and it's just like, what? Why are you doing that? And also, why specify a particular courier if you can't guarantee that courier making that delivery for you? I don't know if there was some argument or fallout between Game and DPD.
I'm assuming it's that they just couldn't fulfill the amount of orders they had.
You would have thought that Game had an ample time to have sorted that logistical problem out ahead of time. It's not like they didn't know they were going to be...
Well, they're the biggest kind of high street video game retailer in the UK. You'd expect them, you know, I know they're mostly stocked with Funko Pops and T-shirts and stuff these days, but still, it's called Game.
Yeah.
You'd expect them to know the main part of the business.
and how
to plan correctly and coordinate.
Knowing gamers and knowing the way people have to operate their lives and stuff, that this isn't, it's not as I said, it's easier for me than some people. I imagine there's some people in much worse conditions. There are a lot of people really angry because they changed the terms of the deal.
Pray they do not alter it further.
Yeah. I've altered the terms of the deal. Yeah, it's just like, and as I said, I think it would be less of a problem had it been more effectively communicated at a better time, in a better way, and at least have a knowledge branch of here's a £15 credit, store credit, straight away. That's something they should have done straight away for everyone that was affected by it, and that should already be in place by the time you're emailing stuff out.
No, I agree.
It's just, yeah, really badly handled, leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. And I didn't want to give money to Amazon. It was one of the reasons why I was happy to give money to another retailer, and Game was the one that I went to. And as I said, it was giving them a second chance of them messing up before, and I don't think I'll give them another chance after this. And it's a shame, because I like to support them.
I don't use Game that often, because I used to use Game all the time. And yeah, it was because there was, I mean, you go back, 10, 15 years, there was a game on every bloody high street. There was a game yeah. everywhere. Sometimes there were three games on one high street because yeah. they kept taking over companies and taking over their stores and going, hold on, this doesn't quite work for our business model. But it's been a while because there's no game nearby me anywhere. It's a long journey to go find a game store. And
yeah.
When I do, you know, it's when I used to work in South Kensington, then it was a short tube journey over to Hammersmith. And so I could do that on my lunch break and go pick up the latest game if I didn't pre-order it. And I really went, I fancy picking that up today. I'll go get that today. But yeah, it's just not a convenience anymore. Tim, away from the pre-orders, yes. Let me tell you about the launch.
Yes. Did you try and get one today?
So, yeah, certain retailers...
Because I tried to get one for my flatmate as well and had an interesting experience with that too. But
so certain retailers, they put up a head and they went, hey, look, well, first of all, PlayStation went, we're not selling any on the day in store. Do not turn up to a store. Do not queue up outside a store. Digital only. Make all your orders online. Approved business partners will have them available online. Those approved business partners being like Very, Curry's, John Lewis... Amazon, Argos, all those kind of things. And I mentioned on the show before, if I want to get some, I get a scheme through work where it works out in my interest if I buy things from Curry's. I get quite a discount and stuff. So I've decided, like, if I can't get it on Curry's, I'm not getting it. I'll just wait till it's available on Curry's. Yeah. So for this instance, we will talk about Curry's. I'm going to get a little bit quiet now because I'm a little bit close to the mic because
it's story time. Is that we're kind of?
Well, no, I'm planning to get a PlayStation 5 myself, and I've got to be quiet because my girlfriend's upstairs. But I want to get a second one for her because she really wants one, and I thought it'd be a really nice Christmas present. And she doesn't listen to the show, so I should be okay.
Right.
So that was the plan.
I don't know why I'm whispering.
I don't know why you're whispering. Only I can hear you and the listeners. So I thought, right, I knew today they were going to have stock. They put out a tweet even saying, so we're going to have stock. Keep your eyes on Twitter. We'll let you know when. Kept my eyes on the Twitter. They never let us know when, just on the day. So I thought, right, I'll wait up till midnight and I'll see what's going on. I'll wait a couple of hours and see if I can make a purchase. And they put out a tweet just before midnight, I think it was, and they said, hey, if you're looking for PlayStation 5 stock, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
9 a.m.
Most
on
people
launch day.
Said 9 a.m. apart from
9 a.m. Amazon. You'll be able to log in, get yourself some stock. I was up about 7, so I thought, I'll just keep an eye on the page. I'll have it up and loaded, and I'll just refresh it time to time. And then when it's getting closer to about 8:45, we'll say, I'll just madly refresh every minute and see if it's working. So apparently what happened is about 2 a.m. someone figured out a loop in the system, a loophole in the system, where they could, through a bunch of jiggery pokery and logging into this page and saving this and out of that page and all this kind of stuff, they found that they could add a PlayStation 5 to their basket, save it, log back in, and then purchase said PlayStation 5. So... when it was coming up to 9, there was a lot of rumblings because the site started a queuing system to get into the site, not to make the purchase, just to get into the site itself, which they do when there's high traffic. They started doing since the last round of pre-orders. And a lot of people started saying, hold on, why have these people made purchases and they're tweeting about their purchases from 2 a.m. onwards?
Yeah.
And it turned out that they made, if I've got the right number here somewhere, they made a ridiculous amount of pre-orders, which I don't have on me. I thought I did, sorry. There was a ridiculous amount of pre-orders made, more so than they had stock. And so what Currys have done, I've mentioned this before, they added a $2,000 price increase onto all the PS5s and went, right, those that pre-ordered, we're sending you a code to take off $2,000 and then you can purchase through that, and that should stop scrapers and bots and people trying to get them without pre-ordering. And they went through that system. They left that on till the early hours this morning. They then took the PlayStation 5 off the store or delisted it,
yeah,
and then put the price down with the intention of 9 o'clock they put it back up, but people managed to get to that link and buy them early, and that's what's caused the problem. So they went, hey, 9 o'clock, that's not happening. Let's know about 9:15 as well, which is great.
Yeah.
So 9 o'clock thing, that's not happening later today. Now, Currys work with another company, and I've completely forgotten their name, for their customer service on Twitter and other social media platforms. It's like Know Before or something like that. And they said on one tweet to one person, not on an outlying thing, just one reply, they said, the 9 o'clock thing's not happening, 11 o'clock.
Yes.
So 11 o'clock comes and site's down, crashed, absolutely ruined. 12 o'clock comes, still down, and... then eventually Currys just put out a tweet and they go, we're not selling them today. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Anyone that wanted stock today, not happening. There will be no PlayStation 5s available to buy today.
Mm.
You lose. All their black and white, all that kind of stuff. So that was very, very confusing.
Yes.
And quite an irritating waste of a few hours trying to get hold of a PlayStation 5. But I will wait. I will pick one up eventually. But
well, my flatmate tried to get one through various different websites this morning when he was up. And then when he was out and at work, I was trying to get him one from Amazon. And that did not go well. They said 12 o'clock. And then they still weren't up by almost 1 o'clock. And then they went up for 30 seconds. I had one in my basket twice. And did not manage to purchase one.
Well, the interesting thing was all the people that went through a thing and started bragging online, going, oh, I made my orders. And also, if you went on eBay and you typed in PlayStation 5 Currys, the listings shot up. Apparently, all of those have been cancelled.
Yeah.
So if you went through a loophole, you might have an issue. Someone did send me the number, I completely lost it. I think it was something like 15,000 PlayStation 5 orders were placed, and they just did not have that.
Amazon's website struggling in living room, and it was really struggling under the strain.
Yeah, the big complaint with Amazon was people were putting them in their basket, and then they'd go to their basket, and the basket was empty.
Yeah, that's what I had.
John Lewis crashed while people were making their orders, and other people that couldn't get in because of the site crash, when they finally got in, everything was gone. Like, there's just been so many problems today. This has been
the weirdest
console launch.
I don't know of a fairer way to do it, but this doesn't feel like a good, fun consumer way. You know, it's not a fun consumer experience for the purchasing side of things.
I think PlayStation themselves were on the right track when they said, we're going to give you the chance to register to buy the PlayStation.
Mm.
However, I think, one, other companies should have done that as well, and two, they should have actually, like, a ticket number within this long you'll have to buy on the launch date, all that kind of stuff. Whereas what PlayStation actually did is they went, register your interest, and then we'll send you a link, and you'll have to queue up, and you might be able to buy a PlayStation.
Yeah.
And that was only in the US, but I think something like that, especially in a system where you can't go to the store and you can't queue up and get close to people, that maybe something like that, a ticketing system of some sort.
Logistical problems just getting them to market and stuff. So, as much as I'm upset about not getting my PlayStation today, at least I've possibly got one, hopefully Yodel depending tomorrow. I don't know, it has... I'm pleased for everyone else and everyone else getting happy things, but it has sort of taken a bit of the sheen off the whole launch day experience for me, basically. We're not getting one on launch day, obviously, but then tomorrow I'll just be anxious the whole day about whether it is or isn't coming as well, because I don't trust the courier as much. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a bit poo. But
I hate waiting in for orders. But I really do.
But I don't know. Like,
right. That's it. We had troubles getting PlayStation.
Yes.
We thought we'd talk
and I'm
about
sure
it.
Many other people had troubles, and let us know if you had greater or funnier troubles.
Twitter, Facebook, on the site itself, on Discord, let us know. That is a good way. YouTube comments, we read them all. It's great.
Or if you were a happy customer, did Yodel actually deliver to you today? Are you one of those rare unicorns?
I did see a couple. I saw, I think it's Ricky that's on our Discord, and he said, hey, I got a PlayStation through Curry's. But yeah, good for you if you got one. We're not sour at all.
Rick
but
got his enough talking about from a friend of the show, Rick, got his delivered from Smith's today. See, in a normal non-COVID universe as well, I could just nip around his house and be playing his while he's at work.
I did cheeky message him and say, can you hold that up to the window and give Tim a call just to wind him up a bit? Right. Tim, you did get your Xbox Series X and you've had more time with it.
Yes.
How's the experience going?
Well, let's dive into a game and then I'll get to the experience a bit more with that and after that, if that's okay. Because I've been playing something for review. I did give some indication that that would be the case last week. But I was given a review code of this, just in case I forget to say that going in, about a game called The Falconer, which was a launch game on Xbox Series X and S. And I've been playing on the S, which will be something I'll be saying more of in the future, just to completely specify that. I believe it's also available on PC as well. But yeah, anyone that hasn't seen The Falconer is a kind of open-world adventure game where you seem to be playing the part of a...
Falconer.
Well, yes, but a kind of... A falconer seems to be a... wizard type gentleman sat atop a massive falcon, basically.
Ooh.
So you're actually sitting atop and flying around the skies, and it's really kind of like it's a stylized kind of cartoony look, but it still looks really nice. Like, it's not going for a photorealism kind of feel to the graphics, but it's like when you're flying, particularly when you're flying amongst the clouds and all that sort of stuff, the kind of volumetric nature of the clouds and all that sort of stuff. This looks really good and kind of works really well. It also kind of has some really nice mechanics. The main thing being the flight mechanic, and particularly how it works with boosting. Basically, you've got they haven't really referenced it, but it's a kind of boost bar, essentially.
Like the chocolate?
No, not...
You know, the chocolate and the toffee and the stick with the biscuit, the guava.
It's not like a biscuit boost, no.
Boost bar.
Boost bar, no.
Different. Delicious.
Although blue and a bar, it is slightly different, Colm. But basically, you can hold down the left bumper to boost forward. And it's not immediately obvious that that is entirely, like... I don't know if it's just coming from spaceships in playing Squadrons recently and stuff. Like, it doesn't feel as boosty as it is in other things. It kind of just, there's a kind of whistling wind effect going past you when you're doing it, basically. But it does speed you up a bit. And, but then you can also use the same energy bar to, and not a biscuit boost again, Coleman, the energy bar.
Different again.
But yeah, you can use that same energy bar is depleted when you're using skills to dodge as well, which is basically rolling left or right sort of idea. Sort of barrel rolling. But then, that bar is refilled by kind of diving forward. Diving down, basically. Like, as you go down there, that bar refills. So it kind of ends up in a situation where you can keep boosting as long as you're swooping up and down enough. Because it also uses energy to go up, but it uses less energy to go up than it does to go down. So you can kind of boost forward, and as long as you've got enough space to be like looping down enough and you're timing it right, you can carry on boosting. But it's in a kind of swooping fashion. But it feels kind of organic, and it feels like it works it makes you fly like a bird, basically, rather than...
Oh, like Nelly Furtado.
Rather than flying more like an aircraft type thing. And it feels quite... it works quite well, and I quite like the way it does that. You've also then got another bar that kind of fills up and is depleted, which is just your health. But a lot of the game doesn't really kind of explain itself that well, he says, possibly not explaining himself that well. The game doesn't really entirely handhold and guide you through everything. You kind of, through exploring the world, and I don't want to give away too many things, but I'll talk about some of the minor things that you discover early on. Like, you can discover that when you swoop into a school of fish, you can come out with a fish and you can eat that and it will replenish your energy. But it doesn't really tell you that at any point. And then you can learn that I especially do this for more difficult battles. I'll take a fish into battle with me so that I've got some replenishment of energy, mid battle and stuff like that.
I take a fish into battle with me.
Yes.
Have at you with my haddock.
But the whole world is kind of presented in a mixture of kind of British regional accents, and I'm not entirely sure I've been that good at placing all of them, but some of them do definitely sound like they've got an Irish tinge to them and other things. One of the things that is, it's one of those things I never know whether how much to take into account when you're reviewing a game, but this was made by one person, basically. There's another person that I think did some of the sound design and music, but it's principally made by one person, Thomas Salas, I think it is. Does that make it more amazing that he made this whole thing himself? And I don't know if that counts against it in the fact that it kind of, as I said, there's not much hand holding. There's a few times where some of the longer missions especially could really do with mid-mission checkpoints and feel like they become more grating and annoying than they could be on repetition because they don't have them. But generally, the only other thing I'd say as a criticism is that I'd like some of the missions, and it's a criticism, but it's also a comment on the rest, the points about the game that I like is basically, I wish there were more missions where there wasn't combat involved. It's not that I dislike the combat, although at first the firing that you do, ammunition that you fire out seems a bit piddly and it's not really connecting, but you kind of learn. And again, this isn't something it's talked about in mid-mission, but it's not really you're not sat down and explained it anytime, but you can kind of fly through clouds and different things that are electrically charged and you'll pick up that electric charge. There's another one later on where you fly around the clouds that are coming out of a volcano and that charges you up with fire rather than electricity, and it makes it more likely that your targets that you're shooting at will catch on fire.
Where in reality it more likely kill the falcon.
Yeah, probably not good. But so you can kind of collect the elements, and as I said, that and the flight mechanic and a few other things, those feel really nicely in harmony with everything that kind of makes it feel like its own thing and an organic thing that feels natural and works nicely together. There's a few things that feel a little bit jarring, like some of the mission structure doesn't explain to you. It doesn't really explain that you should probably go off and explore the world a little bit sometimes as well. And it's sometimes in that exploration that I found my most enjoyment in the game. And that's why I wish some of the missions didn't involve combat and was just literally go and drop this from here to here and stuff like that. And there's some missions where you do that, but you encounter combat and you can often have the item that you're carrying get damaged and that can fail you the mission, basically. So and you're not best equipped to deal with a lot of the flight and combat, especially with aerial units, revolves around kind of getting away from people and being agile and being able to move quickly. And you can't do that as easy when you're carrying objects and stuff, basically. But the overall world feels a bit kind of steampunk water worldy.
Well, that's sold then.
But with a kind of almost Victorian feel to it as well, kind of Victorian steampunk overworld, Waterworld is how I'd describe it. There is kind of land, but it's very kind of like most of the world is sea, and all the vehicles involved are kind of either these giant falcons and other giant, I think there's insects I'm fighting at the moment, but other Whoa. Giant kind of creatures that you're fighting, and then kind of paddle boat kind of steamers with massive cannons on them, and like mostly boats, and then the kind of flying units that go with them as well, basically. But you're kind of doing lots of battles where you're shooting other boats or taking out more airborne units. And yeah, as I said, like the combat's not my favorite, but it gets better as you open up in the game. And I also think the flight gets better. I've just got to the point where I'm almost as completely agile as you can be on the kind of the progression chart of that, basically, on the different bars they've got. And you can do different things to upgrade your bird, and you're injecting mutagens into your bird, which kind of give it different properties.
This is starting to sound very man-eater.
Yeah, well, you can like stuff that makes you heal faster, and it's kind of up to you as to what it get. And it's another one of those things that doesn't really explain that well when you're going in. But yeah, and I don't know. I'm intrigued by the story. There's something that I'm not entirely gelling with it at the moment as well. Like the world and the presentation of the characters, I find a little bit. It's stylized in its own way, and it looks like what it is, but I'm not sure I wouldn't be happier if it was something slightly different and there was a bit more level of polish to that, perhaps, if that's not too unkind. But generally, okay. The actual like combat and the world and the missions is all quite interesting. There's two major sides, the Imperials and the Mercer Order, and finished the main chapter and moved on to chapter two, and as that you go from one chapter to the other, you change sides as to which side you're fighting for, basically. There's various different other factions that come into thing. Bootleggers have been mentioned, and they seem to be the insecty type people that I'm dealing with now. But yeah, like it's one that's a bit of a slow burner to start with, but I'm really at the point now where I'm really intrigued. I've gotten better with the combat and the mechanics, and one of the things I find really odd about combat, especially when you've got other people fighting on your side, is it's really sometimes better to hang back from combat than it is to like wade deep into it and kind of Right. let a few other people pick things off and then pick off some weak things. And it feels like I'd rather get fully into it. But I think that may come as you get further progression into the game and stuff like that. But yeah, like as I said, the world, the combat, it's been really interesting, intriguing. I believe it's £25 on launch.
I reckon it's £24.99.
£24.99, I believe, yes. Just £24.99, Coleman.
£24.99.
And yeah, like for that price, it seems to be a big world and open game. I'm not sure how much longer it will go on, but from what I've heard, there's numerous chapters, and I'm only like partway through chapter two at the moment. And I've been playing for, I don't know, a good 6-8 hours to get to that point, possibly.
I've got to be honest with you, Tim. When you said the Falconeer, I was like, isn't that the game that came out on PSVR? It was Falcon Age.
Yes, it's
where you're also a Falconer.
Falconer, there was Falconeer. But yeah, it's a one for flight sim fans that doesn't feel like a flight sim almost kind of thing. It's a different sort of game, and so it's a interesting one to explain, but it's definitely worth checking out, I think, and definitely worth having a look at. And it's too much of a backhanded compliment, say for a small game, it really kind of punches above its weight at times. Like it looks really pretty, it plays pretty well, and it's really interesting, intriguing world that has softened the blow of me not having my PlayStation today, because it gives me an extra day to play that before I have to move on to talk about the PlayStation for next week. So,
you don't have to talk about the play. You don't have to talk about anything.
No. And sort of transitioning from there to talking about the S in general, like, as I said, the quality of life improvements and being able to flick between games has been really nice. And that's something, you know, I've experienced with Falconeer and other stuff. But I did experience a problem with that this week, which I did experience with Falconeer, but having experienced the problem more so with other games, I do not believe it's exclusive to the Falconeer, so I'll slightly divorce it from that in this regard. But yeah, when quick resuming games, I was having a problem with audio restarting. Like, you quick resume a game and there'd be no audio, and you could solve it by closing the game and restarting it, but it took me a while to work out exactly what was causing it and narrow it down to the fact it seemed to be whenever a game was left in quick resume, there was a chance of that happening, basically. So I don't necessarily know that's the case. But yeah, also, yeah, that seems to be a thing. But I also had a problem with the trigger, my right trigger on the control pad. Like, it seems to have lessened with time, but it was...
You've only had it a week.
Yeah, I know. And this is why I'm concerned. But, like, literally a few days ago when we were playing Need for Speed Heat, which I'm quite enjoying, by the way. That's quite good.
Yeah,
my flatmate's playing a bit more of it than I am, but it's still quite enjoyable. But, yeah, the right trigger kept on sticking whenever we were sort of flooring it.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's just that we're not doing that as much in the games we've been playing recently. It's not something I do as much in the Falconeer because that's the trigger for shooting in the Falconeer. And so I haven't really experienced any problems with that. But yeah, worrying that it was sticking and not knowing what to do about it. And if I have to return that controller, do I have to return the whole console to get a refund, you know, like to get it sorted out? I don't know.
No, what you
the
do is you buy
that.
A second controller and then go, oh, this controller doesn't work, but I've got my receipt switch around in the boxes.
Yeah.
I may have done that a few times.
Well, I did think of doing that. I think that's the easiest way to do it that won't cause much aggro for both parties involved, no? So,
and you get to spend more money.
Well, yeah, but I think they gave me a discount code for a second pad anyway, so I was thinking of doing that so that we can actually play co-op.
Well, you'd be rude not to.
Although, yeah, pads for the old Xbox One work quite nicely with the new...
Easy,
just sync them up and they work fine. So, and being as they're not
and
too dissimilar anyway,
one, so.
The only problem with that is I've only got one working pad from my old Xbox. So,
hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while you've been frolicking around with the new generation, I've been sticking around kicking the tires on the old one.
Yep.
Because as you may have noticed, everything on the PlayStation 4 that's coming out is, well, I think except for Dark Souls, Demon's Souls, sorry, I think, is available on the PlayStation 4. So,
not only that, Coleman, this game you're about to talk about is currently available on my PlayStation 4 as of yesterday. Mm. If I would have downloaded it, I could have been playing it, and...
You're not.
Well, I wanted to save
you're
it for PS5.
For the PS5.
It's the one game
I know,
for
I know,
PS5,
I know.
So...
Yeah, sorry, this is Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales we're speaking about, and I wasn't going to play. I pre-bought it for ready for the PS5, and then I logged into Twitter and I was scrolling through like I do each day and someone spoiled something and I went, right, I'm going to do the flipping story and then I'm going to just start it again when the PS5 one's available. So, hey, I've been playing this on PS4 and I've got to say, because if I've seen a lot of this for the PS5 stuff going in and the PS4 version, it's really, really good. You wouldn't realize it was a downgrade in comparison to the other. And there's really funny things about it as well. Because like one of the things they're touting with Spider-Man, especially with the Ultimate Edition, you can get the PS5 version of Spider-Man. People have been doing a lot of comparison videos where they're like, look how fast this loads in comparison to Spider-Man on the PS4. And they show you a section where you clear enemies in like a gang hideout, and then it would go into a loading screen and then you'd be in the map. And then on Miles Morales, he beats a bunch of people up and then he like whips through a window and he's straight out to the map. It does on the PS4 version.
It doesn't on the PS4.
It does it on the PS4 version. You just and straight out into the main world. So that was a bit...
But have you got a Pro?
Yeah, I do have a Pro.
So I'm not sure if there's a massive difference between the Pro version and the PS5 version.
I think
version
it was the example that was used was a level that just does it.
Okay.
It's literally you finish the level. It's a very small level. And then when you're done, you're like straight out through this pipe or a window or something. And then you're out in the map without a loading screen. So that was when that happened, I was like, I've been sold a false bill of goods. But we'll see. Yeah, the loading times aren't so bad. And it is basically Spider-Man 1.5. It's the same engine, the same system, the same city map and everything that you played before. It's just you've got a different Spider-Man and he does a lot of the same stuff that you could do with the previous Spider-Man, but other stuff as well, such as the mode of invisibility and his venom strikes, where he's got like a bioelectrical charge that he can discharge from his hands.
Yeah.
The game itself, I haven't finished the story, but I've been told if you just beeline straight through the story, it's 5 hours, £50 for the game, £10 an hour, if that's how you want to look at it for story. So a lot shorter than the PlayStation 4 version of Spider-Man. I like the story so far. It is very quick moving, although I've been told... So you remember when they did the PlayStation 5 stream and they showed the bridge scene?
Yeah.
Where the bridge explosion collapses and fix all up and stuff. Very cool looking scene. Apparently after that, like that's the last big action scene, and then it's pretty standard boilerplate from then on. And I got to that point pretty quick as well. So I have to see what happens further as I get on into the game. But so far, I really, really like it. And it's more Spider-Man, which is what I want. There's a lot more love put into this than the DLC campaigns where you fight Hammerhead. Which is good, because even though I did like playing that because it meant playing more Spider-Man, this has a clear more big stuff is happening, and that's what I want. Playing as Miles Morales is really cool. He controls like Peter Parker's Spider-Man and has a lot of the same abilities, except there's some new ones tacked on. His movement feels different, so you've still got your web slinging and your wall running and all that kind of stuff, but... It's things like the animations they've put into it where he's new at whereas Peter Parker's meant to be a Spider-Man that's been Spider-Man for a while. Miles Morales, this is 1 year on from the previous game, so he's not used to his powers yet. So you'll see him a lot kind of like flailing around in times if you're doing a particular stunt. But also there's different types of dives and things he can do where he'll like, a bit like the Into the Spider-Verse thing.
Is
you might
it just
see the recreation
so you can
going around
that moment, because that seems to be
maybe
what the internet's doing.
There's
with it.
There's different dives he does, and one of them is the kind of sort of steps backwards and flips round over like a kind of swanton move, and it looks very cool the way he does it. Others he like pulls his phone out and he's like texting or something while he goes down, and it's very kind of teenage cocky swagger, and I like it. He has a lot of cool stylistic moves. The ability to do tricks is still in there like they did in the last one, which is basically just hold X while you're swinging and hold down the thumbstick and you'll do like front flips and back flips and stuff. It still seems pointless even though you're building up experience while you're going along. However, I did find when you're doing a stunt, if you're doing like a forward roll and you hit the ground, whereas if you did that as Peter Parker, he just Spider-Man lands on his feet and hand out to the back and all that kind of stuff. Miles Morales will fall flat on his face, which I quite liked that. I was like, you can cock up. That's what you want as a young Spider-Man. Story's really good. Acting's really good. If you're more of a fan of comic Miles Morales rather than the Into the Spider-Verse Miles Morales, you might be disappointed with the kind of progression it goes. Whereas, this is more... If you know who Miles Morales is purely through the film, then this is going to be one for you. And especially so because you can unlock a Into the Spider-Verse suit, which comes with two different powers for the suit. One is that you can slow down the frame rate of just the character, which you would have seen in the trailers. And the other one is that kind of speech, onomatopoeia written out, pals if, like while you're... is it onomatopoeia?
Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia.
But
I've only ever read
onomatopoeia.
But
onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia.
It's Adam West. It's Adam West Batman. Onomatopoeia. If you punch a bad guy, it says boom and zip and pow and all that kind of stuff. And that stuff looks really cool.
Yeah, that's nicely from Into the Spider-Verse as well. That's some good references. Yes.
I got some capture of it, which I'll put in the video on Big Red Barrel TV on YouTube. Plug. I did do some just for the capture, but I had to turn the frame rate thing off because it was starting to screw up my eyes and my travel sickness and stuff. It does temper when things like
that
happen.
Isn't that a pre-order bonus, that costume as well? You get it earlier access to it for a pre-order bonus, I think.
I didn't pre-order. I got it the day after, and because I got digitally, I got that. But I heard you can unlock it without
You can unlock it in game anyway, basically. Yeah.
I think the pre-order gives you access to that and the zip suit or something that. It's a white
tracksuit
version of the suit. The tracksuit. Yes, you're right. It gives you the access to those early, but you can unlock them within the game.
Which, see, I was a bit worried about because I'm like, well, if I unlock this Into the Spider-Verse suit straight away, will I just play the whole game in that suit? But yeah, maybe not. You say it's
Not because it takes a little while. I mean, I think it takes like 2 hours of playing before you actually unlock the suit abilities. Otherwise, you can change suits, but
and it
they
doesn't
don't
make,
do anything.
Make too much difference.
And you might want those abilities to play around with. But I unlike the whenever I played the PS4 version of Spider-Man, I've got to stop saying because I'm playing this on PS4. Whenever I played the previous Spider-Man game. Whenever I hit a story beat, I try to make sure I was wearing the story costume because the story costumes
in the game,
damage and things
shows life.
Up on them.
Just checking.
No, in the game, obviously. But when you're, if you're Peter Parker and you're damaged,
you
then the damage
there in
shows
your Spidey
up.
Suit.
Yeah, but not all the effects happen on the suits that you unlock as they would as the story beat ones. So I try to wear the right story beat costume while I'm playing through the story stuff, and then when I'm doing more muck around, then I'll wear the separate suits and stuff. But it's more Spider-Man. It is lesser than the previous game just because the amount of content, and a lot of it is bolstered by kind of there's instead of backpacks, so you find the backpack and it will give you like a little Easter egg about something or other that's happened in Spider-Man's life. This one, Miles has like what are they called? Time capsules, lock boxes with combinations on them. You'll go find those instead. There's training missions and things for you to do.
Does he do any sort of graffiti, any sort of tagging or like graffiti stuff or stickers?
Not that I've seen, but you do get you find samples because Miles Morales is into mixing, and you find music samples that he can then use for mixing later on, which is a nice little
Spider
nod,
mix,
I thought.
Eh?
No tagging that I've seen, but that might be different. Right. I don't know, but it's enjoyable. You'd have to work out if it's worth £50 to yourself.
Yes.
If you're listening, you like the sound of this. If you want the full experience and can get the previous Spider-Man game with this one for the PlayStation 5, then that's £70, £69.99.
Yes, now I purchased that, and I'll come on to that in a second. But, I had a question. Like, do you still get to kind of mess around in... Like, I haven't heard this spoken about anywhere, and I don't really want to read a full review to have it spoiled and spoil it, but do you have any idea if... you get to mess around in the open world city. You can go around as Miles Morales in a similar manner that you could when ending the previous game. I imagine you can, no? But I don't know how much content there is for him to do in and around the city.
I haven't finished the main story yet.
Yeah.
But I would assume, if it was like the previous Spider-Man, that you'd be messing around, picking up items and doing little quests and stuff. But
does there seem, from what you've seen in the game so far, do you think there's enough of the city and enough stuff in the city for that to be as much of a thing as it was in the previous game? Or does it feel like a smaller thing overall? Or
I think there's enough to keep you busy, but then if the idea of clearing icons off a map is your idea of a fun time, then it's probably worth £50.
I am a bit worried because this is the one game that I purchased, and it being £50 for, say, 5 to 6 hours, as a lot of people have reported, I'm like, really? I'm going to burn through this possibly in one day, let alone one weekend of launch type thing.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do what I did with the previous game, which was
pass it out
when
a bit,
I
sort of thing.
When I hit credits, I hit platinum at the same time.
Right,
so
yeah.
I'm trying to go through and do as much side content as I can between missions and stuff to try and bolster that and make it last. And then, because it's a nice feeling, you hit credits and then you get the platinum and you're like, I'm done.
But this was the reason why I went for the deluxe edition or whatever the hell they call it. But the one that gave you the access to Spider-Man Remastered. Now,
yeah,
I don't entirely know whether or not I needed to do that. I wanted to get the pre-order bonus for just getting the pre-order bonus because it's a game I was definitely going to buy. So I'm like, okay, I want to buy this game now. But I'm really confused still. Like, am I getting a different game by buying that version than I would if I was upgrading the version from PS4 that I'd already buy? Or do I need to get access to the PS4 game on PS5? I'm very confused about, like, is the remastered version separate to the upgraded version from PS4, basically, is the crux of the matter.
From what I understand, because, again, I haven't got PS5, I can't check this stuff, it's basically the same game. The differences is the visuals, the frame rate, ray tracing, all that kind of stuff, which you then have to pick whether you want frame rate or ray tracing.
But would that have been a free upgrade if I just upgraded the other version I already got? That's what I understood.
No.
And that's what I'm really confused about. And I think Sony have done a bad job of having a general policy with.
Yeah, if you have the PS4 version, you can play that on the PS5, but you are playing the PS4 version with some improvements, which will most likely be frame rate.
Well, you can say loading times as much as anything else.
Loading times and keeping it a solid 30, I think, because I don't think it has an unlocked frame rate mode within the PS4 version. If you want the increased frame rates and ray tracing and stuff, then you're looking to buy the PS5 version. Plus, if you want to see Peter Parker's new face, that is also the PS5 version. And he does appear in Miles Morales' quite a bit at the start.
So I figured for £20, although £70 is a lot to pay for, you know, one thing on launch day, it seems a better value proposition than getting 5 to 6 hours for £50, getting the two games for £70. I thought I might as well. If I do burn through Miles Morales, I've still got the whole of Remastered to mess around with as well.
Yeah, so. I really enjoyed the previous Spider-Man game, and that was my game of one of my games of the year that year, I believe. And
only God of War was really up there with it.
Yeah, I'd happily play that again. And because you can move your save over, I think it's time for a new game plus. But doing that with the with all the new improvements and stuff. However,
can I do that with the remastered version as well? Like, I don't know if that's even possible. Is that a different thing? Is it a different save file? Like, can I move my save file from my PS4 version to the remastered
version? I don't know if it's available right now, but you can move your progress over from the PlayStation 4 version to the PlayStation 5 version.
Right, okay.
However, if you've unlocked trophies, I don't know if the trophies pop within... If they get...
Yeah,
you know, like when you had GTA on Xbox 360 and you bought it on Xbox One, basically. And then it went, bing, 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 here's all your achievements.
Right.
I don't know if they do that or if you have to re-earn everything again.
Right.
Which, if you do... I don't know. I might go for a second Spider-Man Platinum. Because that was a fun Platinum. I like that game.
Because we're both fairly clued in gamers, obviously. I'm not saying we're, cutting edge journalists, game journalists, and have our, connections
to
everyone.
We're on the blunt edge of gaming.
But we're definitely well informed.
Can't even secure PS5s on day of the launch.
Well informed gamers that generally, read up on these things, keep up to date with these things. And if we're slightly confused by what's going on with it, I dare say there's a lot more people that have no idea what's going on at the moment with that. I just think Xbox have definitely done a better job of making that a much easier thing to know what is going on with. And that's one thing I had a mess around with that I forgot to mention on the Xbox as well, just quickly as well. Picking up a game that I'd played on the Xbox S and then the Xbox Series S and then playing that on my Xbox One. Played a bit of Gears Tactics and just continued my game in bed. Like, I was like, oh, okay, I could do that. Oh, yeah, and that works.
That's cool.
And just, yeah, syncs up the information and carries
on. Yeah, and that was one of your, I remember that was one of your initial questions. Could you transfer not just the save one way, but the other way? Because you were talking about that, putting your Xbox One in your bedroom and, yeah, one in one and one in the other.
And that seems to work all right so far, so.
I know it's in beta in the US at the moment, but there is the idea that soon you'll be streaming from console to console. So when that happens, then, you know, quid's in, mate. You have your Xbox One in bed and you'll be streaming from your your Xbox One S.
Yeah.
So sounds good. And much like they're doing with the PS4 as well. If you've updated your PS4 recently, you'll notice that an app's popped up to go,
remote
control your PS5.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Anyway, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, I'm enjoying it, even though it is just the PS4 version. I look forward to playing it all over again on the PS5. If you enjoyed Marvel's Spider-Man and you want more of that story, I think this is satisfying enough. Whether you want to pay that price, totally up to you. Can understand if you want to hold out.
I think it's a bad game to try and establish a new price point with, because it's not really a whole game, and I don't think it's... is one that should be helping to establish that price point.
It is very much an expand alone.
Yeah.
This could have been DLC for the previous game, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or an expand alone that's 20 quid download only or something like that. You know.
I'm interested to see what happens next. Is Spider-Man 2 a game of, like it was previously, is this going to be Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Miles Morales pops in every now and then in the story, or is this... now a game of two Spider-Men? Is it Spider-Men 2, you know?
Can't you see them going the Spider-Verse route? Because there's been some nods to 2099, so they could bring that into the equation.
There's a 2099 suit in both of them, in fact. You've got a Miles and a Peter one,
And then you could have other Spider-Peoples.
You could do. I think that's too big because they've established... I can't even say that. Spoiler for the previous game. They've established stuff that's going to work pretty well into a focus for the next game.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to see, would you be playing as Peter, then suddenly switching to Miles and then back to Peter, or is it just a Peter adventure? And now are we going to get separate games of Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales, or are we going to get the two combined? Or is Miles Morales now going to be half games every step of the way?
That might be a really nice way to do it, actually. Like, instead of having DLC, have a half game with Miles Morales that's a proper expansion.
After playing as Miles Morales and seeing his style and stuff, I want more Miles Morales. Ooh. I want a full game as Miles Morales, you know? I would rather have the... I don't even know what I want. The sky's the limit now for me. I just want more Spider-Man.
See, and do you think... with it being a little bit sparse, do you think it might attract some criticism with it being a bit short?
And I think it already has.
Yeah, but do you think that's something they might look, instead of doing DLC for this one, they might look to do a bit of free add-on content down the line to kind of bolster it out a bit?
Yeah, probably. But that's pretty much what they did the DLC stuff with Spider-Man, but they kept updating these free costumes and stuff into it. I think that's just what you're going to get this time. I don't know.
Speaking
maybe
of which,
add some content.
I don't know if you saw this week, but they announced that Star Wars Squadrons is actually add-on DLC. Two more ships, another map.
Oh, you did. Can you get a bobblehead of the child? As we're not allowed to call him Baby Yoda anymore.
I'm not sure if that's in, or he said that was the he said one of getting the B-Wing was the most requested thing apart from the bobblehead of the child. So I don't know if he's in there or not. I think I've seen Yoda. I'm not sure if I've seen the child.
Okay, there was Mandalorian DLC announced just before the... and free update, I mean. Promotional tie-in stuff just before the Season 2 started, so...
But then... yeah, that's quite cool that there's some, the B-Wing and TIE Interceptor, I think it is, coming. And just the fact that is getting more content is good news, because they explicitly said that wasn't going to happen. coming in the next couple of months, all for free. So that's pretty cool.
The other big news, which we won't dwell on too much, but just to give it a nod, IO Entertainment are making a James Bond game. IO Interactive, and I am super excited because Hitman Bond game.
Yeah!
What's not to love?
That makes so much sense, as a lot of people have said. Like, it's just, why weren't you doing that already, basically?
Yeah. So the 007 project, I believe it's called at the moment. But
that really excites me. Like, I think they've done a good job of kind of fleshing out the Hitman world a bit over the years, but it's got a bit convoluted in a way, kind of.
I don't know. I haven't touched them.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I don't know. I think they were definitely ending something with the ending of this trilogy of Hitman, and it'd be nice for them to have something that they can really apply their skills to but has a slightly different feel to it as well. And I think it's a perfect fit for them in terms of they were almost making a James Bond game anyway. They just need to put a slightly different angle and swing on
more hair.
More hair. But yeah, I can see that working really well. And that plays a lot of people today. And I'm one of them. And yeah, that's a really good prospect.
I love me a Bond game. And they seem like the right kind of people. Like for the little bit of Hitman I've played, the alpha and beta for the first reboot. I don't know what you call those games. Yeah, it seems like the right kind of thing to be sticking in for 007. And I'm all for that. Tim, we've got to wrap up because
we have gone way over today.
But I will say, if you want to get in contact with the show, you can do. We have a comment section on BigRedBarrel.com. Also on the front page of BigRedBarrel.com, we have a Discord link. And also you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Facebook, Twitter are at BigRedBarrel, and YouTube is BigRedBarrelTV. But alternatively, if you want to tell us what a lovely job we're doing on the show, for some reason, or you might just want to like shout things at us and put stars next to your name. That'd be great. Five of them would be lovely if you could. But we've got we're available on our Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Podchaser, and Stitcher, plus other podcasting platforms. But those four particularly, you can give us reviews on, much like I've got to get this right, NINSJC. So I'm going to call you Insk.
I didn't know this was coming. This is a surprise.
Yeah,
not on the agenda.
From the UK, they have said on Apple Podcasts, a brilliant podcast, five stars. This podcast really nails the combination of humor and information. The hosts are well-informed, likable, and interesting. It's a very chilled-out, silly show at times, but it adds to the relaxed vibe. The only thing I change is to make the episodes longer, so I have more time to listen to. Are you mistaking us for the Weekly Planet podcast?
Yeah, you got the wrong podcast there. You said we're well-informed.
Yeah, what happened there?
But no, entertaining? Thank you very much. Yeah, like that's quite complimentary. And yeah, nice that's to hear. Brilliant. Thank you.
Yeah, keep them coming, keep them coming. All your podcast reviews, they do help us climb the charts and show us to other listeners, will wannabe listeners that don't even know they want to listen to our show yet, and puts us in their face, and they'll go, oh, from my face, I'll stick that in my ear. Yeah, I just poked myself in the eye.
Big Red Barrel really does not condone sticking this podcast in your face. In your ears is fine. In the general face is not.
Whoa!
Right!
This has been episode 416 of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast, or BRB UK if you prefer. I prefer. For this week, we will talk to you next week, but until then, I will say that I have been Coleman.
I might have been Tim, and I might have been less grumpy if I'd have got a PS5 today.
Me too. Also, I think I have a cold.
Oh no!
not COVID, a cold.
Don't die,
cold.
Coleman. Don't die.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yes, sorry. Until next week, dear listeners, thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
Are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.
I did really poke myself in the eye. Really.
Why would you do that?
Well, I was doing a thing and I went...
Just so you know, for future reference, that is a bad thing to do, Common. Bad Common.
That's going to go Bloodshot.
It's going to become a Vin Diesel movie.